People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. You can find Philippians 2 on page 981, if you're using the Black Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you if you're in the front or in the back rows. Page 981, Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 19 through verse 30. It's also on the screen here. So when you get there, if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? At home too, if you're able, would you stand with us for the reading of God's word? Philippians chapter 2, page 981, beginning at verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. And for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need, for he's been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray now and give thanks to him for it. Indeed, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are pleased to speak to us through. Thank you that you give us grace through your word. And so would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and that we might love others like you have loved us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Jesus grows his people through community. Jesus grows his people through community, through relationships with other believers. That's what this short five-week series through Philippians is all about. You see that there? God accomplishes his work in us through community. And this book, Philippians, it's a letter from the Apostle Paul that he's writing while he's in prison. Say, well, why is the Apostle Paul in prison? Well, he's in prison because he's telling other people about Jesus. He's in prison because he dared to claim that Jesus, not Caesar, is the true and rightful ruler of the world. The Apostle Paul's in prison because he called people to give their exclusive loyalty and allegiance to Jesus, not to Caesar, and not to the Roman Empire. So he's in prison, maybe awaiting his execution. And he's writing this letter to this church in a Greek city, the Greek city of Philippi. Philippi is, if you're looking at a map, it's at the northeast corner of Greece. And if you read this short letter, it's only four chapters. If you read through Philippians, one of the things that's really striking is all over this letter is relationship, community. I mean, you see that in our text, these two paragraphs this morning already, can't you? I mean, here's Timothy, this missionary doing work with the Apostle Paul. He's concerned about the Philippians. The Apostle Paul, this text says, loves Timothy like a son. Timothy loves the Apostle Paul like a father. Epaphroditus is distressed because the Philippians are distressed when they heard that Epaphroditus was ill. These two paragraphs, they're all about Christian community, all about relationships. And this letter here highlights, again, God accomplishes his work in us through community. Jesus grows his people through community. Jesus grows us through community. One thing to look at here in this text, verse 20 and 21. I want to look at these one more time. Verse 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul's talking about Timothy here, and he says this, verse 20, I have no one like him, no one like Timothy, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Then you have this contrast. You get to verse 21. There's this contrast between Timothy and these other so-called Christian leaders. Verse 21, they all seek their own interests and not those of Christ. There's contrast here between Timothy and these other so-called Christian leaders. He cares about you. These other folks, they only care about themselves. But there's another subtle point here I think we can make in these two verses, right? These other so-called Christian leaders, they don't care about others. They only care about themselves. Look at the verse again. They don't care about others, verse 21, and so they are not seeking the interests of Christ. Do you see the subtle point being made there? To seek the interests of others, to be genuinely concerned about other people, is to seek the interests of Christ Jesus. Seeking the interests of Christ means pursuing and building and nurturing Christian community. Seeking the interests of Christ means being genuinely concerned about other people. So how do we do that? How do we build Christian community, Christ-centered community? That's what this whole chapter is about. Chapter 2, it's all about. It's what this letter, even these four chapters, is all about. It's what this short series is all about. How do we build community? We build community by serving one another. We build community by anticipating each other's needs. We build community by honoring those who live in such a manner. How do we build community? Serve, anticipate, honor. Serve, anticipate, honor. Let's begin this morning with serve. Serve one another. There's two men in our text whom the Apostle Paul is highlighting as examples of service. The first of these is Timothy. Now, Timothy, as a young man, grew up in Lystra near Iconium. This is south central Turkey today. He had a Greek father. He had a Jewish Christian mother. Seems that he becomes a follower of Jesus sometime before the Apostle Paul meets him. And when the Apostle Paul meets him, he invites Timothy to join the Apostle Paul in his ministry, in his missionary journey of going city to city, telling others about Jesus. So Timothy does, and the Apostle Paul and Timothy, they become and they remain really very close. Timothy often functions as the Apostle Paul's representative in different churches. You can see that here. The Apostle Paul is going to send him to represent him even in the church in Philippi. Timothy eventually, the Apostle Paul sends to Ephesus, and he eventually leads that church in Ephesus. Here, Timothy is an example of serving others. He's given up his life to spend it sharing the good news about Jesus across the ancient world. Gives his life in dedication to Jesus, in dedication to Jesus' church. Indeed, in verse 20, he's genuinely concerned about the people of Jesus. Verse 22, serving to spread the news about Jesus, willing to go wherever necessary, do whatever necessary to build up the people of God. Timothy is an example of serving others. So first man, second man here, is this man named Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus comes from Philippi. The Philippians, they've been long-term supporters of the Apostle Paul, but for whatever reason, they've not been able to send him any encouragement or support for some time. We don't know why. We don't understand that. We just see that in verse 30. You see it later in chapter 4 that there was some lack here, and this is referring to their inability to send him any care packages, any encouragement, any kind of help. But finally, Epaphroditus is able to go on their behalf. And he travels from Philippi across the Greco-Roman world to the Apostle Paul in prison. This could have taken weeks, maybe even months. Epaphroditus here has given up family and friends, left them to spend months or longer to bring encouragement and support to the Apostle Paul in prison. This is service, isn't it? Loving and serving others like Jesus has loved and served us. And yet, on top of this, it seems along the way Epaphroditus gets sick. We don't know the details. We don't know what happens to him. All we know is verse 27, he gets sick and he nearly dies from the sickness. He's on death's bed because he's willing to give up everything to serve others. Giving up nearly his own life in order to serve Jesus by serving the Apostle Paul and serving the Philippians, going to the Apostle Paul on behalf of the Philippians. So, I mean, it's beautiful, these two examples of building up community by serving one another. But why are these two paragraphs here? I mean, if you've read through the entire letter of Philippians, these four chapters, why put these two paragraphs right here? I think the location of these paragraphs is really important because these two examples come at the end of chapter 2. And how does chapter 2 begin? We've read through this in our worship service, didn't we? We keep coming back to these verses. Chapter 2, verse 2. Complete my joy. How? By being of the same mind. Having the same love, being in one accord, full of one mind. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. In humility, count others, what to say, more significant than yourselves. This whole chapter is this call to Christian community. And it is distinctly Christian. Right? This kind of service to one another, it's rooted in Jesus himself. So the Apostle Paul, chapter 2, be of one mind, serve one another. And they say, why? How? What's the motivation here? Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which belongs to you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Verses 6 through 11, Jesus, who lets go of equality with God, humbles himself, takes on our nature, dies in our place on the cross. This is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He considers us more significant than himself in order to serve us, even serving us to the point of dying in our place, so that we might know his love, so that we might know reconciliation with God, so that we might learn to live and love just like Jesus does. Jesus builds his community by sacrificing himself in service to us, so that we might then turn and show and continue that same community by sacrificing ourselves in service to one another. I think that's why these two examples are here where they are. They are the call of Philippians chapter 2 lived out in Timothy and Epaphroditus. They're the sacrifice and service of Jesus lived out in Timothy and Epaphroditus. They are Christ-centered community lived out in Timothy and Epaphroditus. How do you build Christian community? By serving one another, considering those around you more significant than yourself. To build Christian community, we have to serve one another. But how do we do that? And how do we build community? It's by service. How do we serve one another? We have to anticipate each other's needs. We have to anticipate each other's needs. Let's look at that next. Epaphroditus, he's come to the Apostle Paul on behalf of the Philippians. He's bringing a care package to the Apostle Paul from the Philippians. And he's intending to stay for a little while. He's going to encourage him. He's going to help him, maybe run errands for him, encourage him, just be with him, pray together, provide fellowship. And the Philippians are expecting him. They expect Epaphroditus to be gone for some time, months or even longer. But the Apostle Paul sends him back early. In fact, this actually might be part of the reason for this letter, is to explain to the Philippians why Epaphroditus has come back so soon. So why is the Apostle Paul sending Epaphroditus back to the Philippians so soon? Look at verse 26. Epaphroditus, he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Evidently, on the way to the Apostle Paul, we've talked about this, Epaphroditus gets really, really sick. And somehow the Philippians heard about his illness. Remember, there's no cell phones here. They don't even have a telegraph or whatever, fax machine, email. So somehow somebody finds out. There's a messenger maybe out on business, goes back to Philippi. Maybe a messenger was sent with a letter. But the Philippians learn that Epaphroditus has become sick. And here's the thing here in Philippians 2. Epaphroditus is distressed because the Philippians are distressed that Epaphroditus was sick. I mean, how's that for a picture of Christian community, right? Epaphroditus is sick, so the Philippians are sick with worry about Epaphroditus, and now he's sick with worry because they're sick with worry because he's sick, right? This is beautiful. This is a picture of God's people together. So what does the Apostle Paul do? He anticipates the need of Epaphroditus. Verses 25 and 26, I thought it necessary to send him home. I thought it would encourage and bless him if I let him go back to see you. Verse 28, the Apostle Paul, he's not only anticipating the needs of Epaphroditus, but of the Philippians as well. You're worried about him, so I'm sending him back to you so you too might be encouraged. And look, there's no evidence anywhere that the Philippians or Epaphroditus are asking for this. The Philippians want to serve the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus wants to serve the Apostle Paul. But this change of circumstance, the Apostle Paul here, he's so in touch with Epaphroditus, he's so in touch with the Philippians that he can anticipate what they need so that he might serve them. This is what true Christian community does. It anticipates the needs of each other. It's why the Philippians sent Epaphroditus in the first place, isn't it? They knew the Apostle Paul was in prison, and they considered, what might he need while he's in prison? How can we help him while he's in prison? How can we serve him in this hard time? And they send a care package, and they send a friend. They anticipate his needs. It's why the Apostle Paul is sending Epaphroditus back. It's why he plans to send Timothy later. He anticipates they might need some spiritual counsel or advice, that they might need some more mentoring and discipling in the faith. He's anticipating the needs of these people he loves so that he might serve them and strengthen their community. If we build Christian community by serving one another, then we have to learn how to anticipate one another's needs. So how do we do that? How do we anticipate each other's needs? Well, first, we have to cultivate an awareness of one another. We have to cultivate this others first thinking that comes from the beginning of Philippians chapter 2. Consider others more significant than yourself means, in part, cultivating an awareness of the people around you. Again, this contrast with Timothy in verses 20 and 21 and those other so-called Christian leaders. He's concerned about others. Those other people only care about themselves. We have to cultivate an awareness and concern for others. You do that by being in relationship. You do that by being present to those with whom you're in relationship. Right? Actually listening to each other, paying attention when somebody shares their hardship, thinking about them instead of just what you want to say next, really listening instead of daydreaming about what you might be doing instead or where you could be instead, being really present, listening, paying attention. And of course, cultivating others' first awareness starts with praying for each other, asking God to lead you into conversation, asking God to lead you to the people who might need you, asking God to help you listen and discern where you might serve others, praying for those needs. And when you're praying, being attentive to how the Holy Spirit might nudge you to serve, right? As you're praying for a particular need, an idea might come to mind. Follow that. Follow these ways to serve that the Spirit leads us. We anticipate each other's needs by cultivating an awareness of one another. The second here, how do we anticipate each other's needs? I think we can learn to anticipate each other's needs just by being mindful of what we needed when we were in crisis. When you got that cancer diagnosis in your family, what did you wish people would have done to help or encourage you? What did people do that you found helpful or encouraging? When you had littles at home, what would have been useful for someone to do to come alongside and help you? When you felt scared, when you felt alone, when you were hurting, what would have been helpful? What do you wish people would have known? What do you wish people would have done? Right? Learn from your own time of need so that you then can meet others with a similar time of need. Cultivate an awareness of others by learning from your own times and crises, even if it's just reflecting afterwards. Here are a couple examples of things that I've seen here in our church. You know, offer to babysit a family that has littles just so mom and dad can have a date, or even just so they can run some errands without the kids. Taking a meal to a family with a new baby or a family that's going through a really busy or hard time, just dropping by with a meal. When somebody's sick, this happened to me, that to call and say, what do you need? Can I go to Walgreens for you? When someone's going through a treatment regime, drive with them. Sit with them just as they're waiting for the treatment. When someone has family going through a procedure, you can go and sit in the waiting room, right? Just being company is huge. You don't have to talk. Bring a book with you. Play on your phone, but just be there is encouragement. And some of what I imagine Epaphroditus was doing, he's just sitting with the apostle, so he's not alone. Someone who's taking care of a loved one who's losing their memory, you could offer to sit with that spouse or that family member or that parent so the caretaker can go out to lunch or to run an errand, so they can get a little break. You could sit with somebody who's losing their memory and just let them tell their stories over again. Get a picture album and have them walk through the pictures with you. Invite our students, our single folks, our widows. Invite them to movie night. Invite them over for holidays. Here's a story from my extended family. When there's a death in her church, one of the things my grandmother does is she calls the local grocery store, has them put together a meat and cheese tray, just drops it by with some buns. Because when there's a funeral, all the family descends on the house, and now they have something to snack on. It's small, it's anticipating needs. Cultivate an awareness of others and learn from your own time of crisis so you can anticipate the needs of others. And look here, friends, the onus is on you. Right? The onus is on you. Too often we relieve ourselves of the burden of service by keeping the onus on the people that need serving. Right? What do I mean here? What do you normally say when you walk through the greeting line at a viewing? If you need anything, don't hesitate to call. Right? Somebody's sick. If you need something, just let me know. We feel better, right? We've offered to help. It's not our fault they don't ask, right? No, that's not what Christian community is. I mean, how hard is it to ask someone, to call someone up and ask them to run to the store because you don't feel well enough? I just, don't raise your hands. How many of you are really willing to do that? You don't feel good, you're laying on the couch, you need a little NyQuil. How many of you are willing to call someone to drive across town, pick up some NyQuil for you, and bring it to your house? Most of us would rather suffer silently, wouldn't we? Now here's the challenge. You own the initiative. Be so in touch with the people in your life that you know what they're going through. Cultivate a mindfulness about them so you can initiate toward them, so you can anticipate what they might need. Hey, I have to go to the store. I'm going to be there anyway. Do you need anything? Can I pick up some NyQuil for you? Do you need some Sprite? Do you need some chicken noodle soup? I'm already here. It's no extra trouble. What can I bring you? I'm coming over anyway. You see, if Jesus grows us through community, if we build community through serving one another, we've got to learn how to anticipate each other's needs. How do we build true Christian community? Serve one another. Anticipate each other's needs. Last this morning, honor those people who build our community through this kind of service and anticipation. Honor such people. Just think for just a moment, who are the heroes of our culture? In our society right now, who are the heroes? Who are the people that we celebrate as a country, as a community? Who are the people that we honor? Right? They tend to be people who have power or influence. We obsess over athletes and musicians. We herald and promote people who achieve. Same is true in the ancient world, right? The strong, the wealthy, the powerful, the influential, the best speakers, the best looking, whatever it is. But look what the Apostle Paul says in verse 29, the very end of verse 29. He's talking about Epaphroditus, and he says, honor such men. Honor such men. Now you think about Epaphroditus. Why would he be worthy of honor? All he did is take a care package to the Apostle Paul, and he couldn't even do that right. He got sick, nearly died, and now he's coming back early. He didn't even finish the job. Why is someone like that worthy of honor? It's because he most looks like Jesus. And we come back again to Philippians 2, 1 through 11. This is the heart of God. This is the love of Jesus. It's sacrificing self for others. It's considering others more significant than ourselves. It's you before me. Those who live and love most like Jesus are reflecting God himself. Those who live and love, sacrificing themselves for others, they are showing and sharing in the very glory of God himself. They share in the very glory of Christ himself, and they deserve our honor because they're showing us Jesus. They're teaching us about our Heavenly Father. And when we honor folks like that, we're showing forth the kingdom and values of God. We're fighting against the enemy, and we're fighting against those inverted values of our culture and the world around us. When we honor people like that, we're teaching our kids what true heroes look like. True heroes are those who look like Jesus. True heroes are weak according to the world, foolish according to the world, small according to the world. But we know Such people are most like God himself, and they will be honored by God. They will be celebrated by God himself. So when we honor such people, we are reclaiming the values of God and teaching them to the next generation. Honor such people. Honor such people. Westminster Presbyterian Church, here are some of our heroes. There's a woman in our church recently who took time off work just to take her friend to dental procedures. Hero. There's a couple here just 2 weeks ago spent a day, took the day to take their friend to a full day's worth of medical procedures. Heroes. A group of women here several years ago, they spent countless days helping an older woman in our church go through her house, sort her belongings, clean it out, move into an apartment. And then some of those same women visited that woman weekly, cleaning her house, running errands, just sitting with her. These are heroes. There's a man in our church. He picks up a homebound woman to take her swimming at the Y with him. Hero. Another man in our church just spent the past few weeks repainting the trim around the windows of our church. Hero. Another woman in our church, I'll never forget this, we're sitting in a waiting room with a woman whose husband is dying. And there's another woman from our church that sat with that wife, and all she did is make phone calls on behalf of the wife to give updates to family and friends. Hero. These are the heroes of the faith. These are the people that as a community we should celebrate, teach our kids, be like them. Because when we honor such people, we're honoring the values of our Father in heaven, those who share in the very glory of Jesus himself, because they live in love like Jesus, to give themselves, to sacrifice themselves, to serve others. Jesus grows his people through community. You can't do life, you can't follow Jesus on your own. You need the people of Jesus. You need Christian community. How do we build Christian community? It's this, we serve one another. We're so in touch with each other that we begin to anticipate each other's needs, and we honor those who live in love, sacrificing themselves for the sake of each other. Serve, anticipate, honor. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your love for us. And for the people that you've brought into our lives and into our community that pour themselves out for us. Well, I just named a couple of examples here, but there are countless ones of meals and cards and phone calls and visits and driving people and running errands and tending to various needs. And these are those who look most like Jesus. So would you help us more and more to die to ourselves? Jesus, we love ourselves. And we love to focus on ourselves and be consumed with ourselves. Would you have mercy on us? Would you so immerse us in the gospel, the good news of Jesus who gave himself for us that we might share his righteousness and so look like him, live in love like him. But we can't do it without your Spirit. So would you give us grace? And give us grace even here at your table, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.